Hello there and welcome to the program. My name is Gary Zimak. I'm going to be here for the next 30 minutes and I'm so glad that you decided to stop on by. You know the deal by now. There's a chair for you here at the table. We are going to talk about this week. We're going to talk about the mass readings for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. This is one of my favorite topics and it's one that really speaks to me at this point in my life. And I'm going to share something with you after we pray, but the topic is God is bigger than the storm. So if you are going through some sort of a storm right now, some sort of a difficulty, maybe a period of uncertainty, I think you're going to like the message. This is a great message. You know, sometimes I do this show and I have to deliver kind of a tough message, but this is a message that is very comforting. It's one that speaks to anyone who is dealing with a bit of a stormy situation. You know, we all have storms in our lives. Fortunately, they tend to come and go. You may be in the storm right now. You may have just emerged from a storm. You might be headed into a storm. They're part of life. We're all going to have these storms. But the message today, the overall message, is that no matter what you're facing, God is in control and He's bigger than your storm. I think it doesn't get much more comforting than that. So we're going to talk about that as we read these mass readings for the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Before we do that and I share some information with you, why don't we pray to our Heavenly Father, the one who is in charge of the storm. He's bigger than the storm. He's bigger than the weather. He's bigger than your circumstances in your life right now. He's bigger than all the evil in the world. He's capable of handling anything that you are facing, either by making it go away or by giving you the grace to deal with it. So we're going to speak to that individual right now who just happens to be our Heavenly Father, Almighty God. So please join me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hello, Father. Thank you so much for being with us. You know, it's easy to take your presence and your love for granted sometimes, Father. We tend to just accept that you're there and that you love us. We don't really think about it in detail sometimes. But I want to make a conscious effort today, Father, to recognize your presence, to recognize how much you love us, because the fact that you created us proves that you love us. You did not need any of us, but you created us. Why? Because you wanted to be in a loving relationship with us. And I know, Father, technically this is not accurate, but you understand what I'm saying. Your universe was not complete without us. And I know you are perfectly happy because you are God, but you still wanted to create us. And again, I know I'm using imperfect language, but it helps me to think of it that way. You needed me in some way. But really, it's for my benefit, because you're perfectly happy, but you loved me into existence so that I could be happy in a relationship with you. And in some mysterious way, even though you're perfect and you're God and you need nothing, my existence pleases you. Mysterious, I know. I'm never going to figure it out, Father, but I understand that I matter to you. We all do. Thank you, Father. Father, as we face the storms of life, help us to remember you are in control, even though it doesn't seem like it. Help us to remember your presence. Help us to remember your power. Help us to remember your love. We lift up all of our friends, families, people we care about, people who are struggling, the sick, the hopeless, those battling addictions. We pray for our country, for the church, for peace in the world. We pray for the souls in purgatory. We pray for anybody who's struggling financially. We pray for anybody who is overwhelmed by a storm in their life right now. And Father, I ask these things of you, and I lift these intentions up in the name of Jesus Christ. He is your Son, and He is our Lord. And He lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love it when I begin to, and I do this in my prayers sometimes, when I begin to explain things to God, you know, as if he doesn't understand. But really, I mean, I'm sure you understand. I'm doing it for my benefit more than his. He gets it. He knows the deal. But I think I need to understand it more. That's why I speak those prayers to him in that way. And I really want to thank you for joining me as I pray to the Father at the start of the show. Okay, the first thing I want to do is remind you, if you want to see, find out more about my work, find out about my books, sign up for my daily email reflection, Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled. The best thing to do is go to my website, followingthetruth.com. The second thing I want to do is remind you, or let you know, maybe you're a first-time listener, that my name is Gary Zimek, and I am welcoming you to this show. We do this once each week, 30 minutes each week, and we focus on the weekend Mass readings, the Sunday Mass readings for that particular weekend. And if you need to get in touch with me, the best place to do so is at my website or through my email address, Gary@followingthetruth.com. That's Gary@followingthetruth.com. Now, I said at the start of the show I wanted to share something with you. I'm sort of in a bit of a storm right now. It has calmed down quite a bit, but man, it was a bumpy ride since the last time we spoke. And this came out of the blue. My wife, Eileen, had a convulsive seizure. This happened at night. We had just gone to bed. We were maybe asleep for 20 minutes or so, and she just started violently shaking. And, you know, and as far as I knew, Eileen was in perfect health. There was no, this had never happened before. It just caught me completely off guard. And she was making some, like a snoring noise. It was really a scary scene, and I could not wake her up. And what I've learned is that it was known as a convulsive seizure. It's the first time I ever saw this. But at any rate, it's a blur to me. I know I prayed. I know I called 911. I know I went to my daughters, woke them up, let them know what was going on. They reached out and got some people to pray. Now, the good news is Eileen is okay. It turns out she has been diagnosed with epilepsy. And when I look back, she had warning signs of this, but we just attributed it to maybe anxiety or sinus problems. These signs go back to when she was maybe 10 years old. She'd have these not seizures. They were seizures, it looks like now as we look back. But they were, we would call them episodes. And she'd tell me about them. She'd say, oh, yeah, I've had this before. It's sort of a funny feeling that I get, and then I sort of go into like a little bit of a trance, and it's hard for me to speak. Now, she wouldn't be unable to speak, but she kind of sort of shut down and went a little zombie-like, if you want to call it that. But never lost consciousness, never anything completely bizarre. But we always thought it was sinuses, anxiety, stomach issues, you know, just a bit of a whatever, you know, one of these things that happened. So she's had this for years, not often, but periodically. Well, it turns out this seizure that she had last week was really the proof that this is indeed epilepsy, and it was dormant for many years. She is on medication now. She's responding well, and she's the neurologist has cleared her of any underlying condition. I mean, they did a battery of tests on Eileen in the hospital. The reason I tell you this is please pray for Eileen and for our family. This is sort of disruptive, obviously, to us as a family. My daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, they're 26. They live with us. We're blessed to be a very close family. And they've never seen anything like this. And, you know, you start to take certain things for granted. Eileen and I have been very healthy, and, you know, you don't expect this. So it's hard on the girls. It's hard on Eileen, obviously. You know, the whole fear, is it going to happen again? What caused this? Is this going to be fatal next time? You know, the good news, the doctor said she can live a normal life and can be controlled with medicine. And then on me, too, because I've got a lot going on. I've got my work. I've got, obviously, my concern for my wife. That distracts me. So there is a lot going on. We would greatly appreciate your prayers, but first and foremost for Eileen's healing. The reason I tell you this is, yes, I need your prayers, but secondly, at some point, I may need to cut back on some of my activities. Now, right now, I don't see it being an obstacle, this show being something that gets in the way. I can do this. I do it from home. It's 30 minutes each week. I can handle that. I'm probably going to cut back on my traveling. It's not a busy time for me right now. I don't have traveling planned until next year. All my talks are local, which is great. My daily email reflection, that should not be a problem. I should be able to get that done. The one thing I am going to eliminate for the time being, if you listen to my daily 5-minute podcast, I am going to temporarily put that on hold. That's going to give me a little more time. Eileen can't drive right now. She's restricted because of her seizure for several months. In the state of New Jersey, there are restrictions on that. And it's a good thing. We don't want her to drive. So I've got to drive her around. I need to do things. There's going to be extra demands on my time. So I just hope you understand. I wanted to tell you this. I don't anticipate not being able to do this show. This should not be a problem. But you never know. I could miss one week. Something could happen. So don't be alarmed. I will keep you posted, especially through the email newsletter, the daily email reflection. You can always go to followingthetruth.com and sign up for that reflection if you want to keep in touch. But, we're going to get through this. God knows what he's doing. He understands that I'm busy. He understands that I do this show. But, you know, sometimes he knows best, and I got to go with that. So I wanted to make you aware of that situation in case we get into sort of a difficulty. But again, Eileen is doing well. We're just taking it one day at a time. She's obviously shaken up by the thing. Took a while for it to sink in. And I think the same thing for me as well. And once it did, then it became, you know, when you're in this situation, adrenaline kicks in. You're just focused on getting the job done. When the storm passes, you start to think like, whoa, what the heck just happened? We're going to see as we read the gospel from the 12th Sunday in Ordinary Time in just a minute. We're going to see an example of that take place. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for understanding. Let's begin with the mass readings, and we'll do so by looking at the gospel first, as I always do on this program. The gospel comes from Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. On that day, as evening drew on, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us cross to the other side." You know, typical day at the office. Let's cross over the Sea of Galilee. They've been across that sea many times. They didn't think there was going to be any problem. It looked like an ordinary day. How many times have we been in a similar situation? Oh, yeah, I'm just going to go about my business. And then something happens. Oftentimes something life-altering. "Let us cross over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took Jesus with them in the boat, just as he was. In other words, they were in charge. The fishermen, they knew the sea. No problem, Jesus. You want to cross over to the other side? Come with us. We know what we're doing. Now, obviously, they thought they were in control. And as is the case with all of us, if we're going to be disciples or followers of Jesus Christ, we got to make sure we follow him. Unfortunately, sometimes we end up trying to lead him. Well, it's kind of hard to be a follower of Jesus when you're not following him. And often what he will do is allow these storms to come upon us so that he can remind us that we're not in control, that he is, and that we can always choose to turn to him for help. That's the beauty of storms. They help us to grow in faith. So they took Jesus with them in the boat. Other boats were with him. But a violent squall came up, and the waves were breaking over the boat so that it was already filling up. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. Amazing, right? Big storm. Jesus is sleeping. Not just sleeping, but he's on a pillow. I mean, he is really determined to take a good nap even as the storm rages. You might feel like that right now. Jesus, you're sleeping. Why in the world are you sleeping? Don't you understand? I got problems here. What did they do? They woke him. And they said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and he rebuked the wind. And he said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. We got to understand, these storms that you and I face, Jesus is bigger than them. And we can't just assume that because he's sleeping and because the storm is still raging, that he is not in control or that he doesn't care. That's not true. Because the fact that he got up and responded to the cries for help of his disciples shows that he cares. So they're accusing him of not caring. He obviously cares. And that he's got the power to quiet the storm. He woke up, rebuked the wind, said to the sea, "Quiet, be still." The wind ceased and there was a great calm. And then, once there was a great calm, Jesus asked him, "Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith?" Well, I would say the answer to that is yes, or weak faith. I mean, we get faith when we're baptized. We receive it as a gift. But many of us, our faith is weak. It's lacking. You've heard me say before, it's good to know that. Because once we know that, we can do something about it. We can ask for help. We can recognize that on our own, we can't fix these problems. But with the help of the Lord, we can. And then once the storm was calm, Jesus said, "Do you not yet have faith? And why are you terrified?" And you know, like, this is a point that I've made in some of my books and when I speak about this, because this is one of my favorite gospel passages. Jesus didn't say, "Why were you terrified?" He said, "Why are you terrified?" Where was the storm? The storm was gone. The verse before, there was a great calm. That's what the scripture says. Why were they terrified? Well, probably because they thought it was going to happen again. They didn't trust him, so they were terrified. Why are you terrified? Do you not yet have faith? And what happened then? They were filled with great awe, and they said to one another, "Who then is this whom even wind and sea obey?" Remember what I told you at the start of the program? It's not until the storm is over, or maybe before it begins, that you can take your time and calmly recognize the fact that Jesus is in charge, or look back and say, you know, he got me through this problem. When you're in the storm, you're in crisis mode. Yes, pray in any way you can. Lord, save me. Lord, help me. That is a more than sufficient prayer if you're in the midst of a crisis. But once things calm down, it's always a good idea to look back and reflect on how the Lord got you through the storm. None of your storms have killed you yet. You've got through every one. The Lord is bigger than whatever you're facing right now. Let's look at the first reading, the book of Job. Oh no, not Job. Job 38, beginning in verse 1. The Lord addressed Job out of the storm and said, "Who shut within doors the sea when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling bands. When I set limits for it and fastened the bar of its door and said, thus far shall you come, but no farther. And here shall your proud waves be still." This first reading is all about God is in charge of storms. He's bigger than storms. So whether we're talking about an actual weather-related storm or a problem that you're facing or the current state of the country or the world, he's bigger. He can control it. But sometimes in his wisdom, because he's God, he allows the storms to continue. We're never going to fully understand why he does what and when, because he's God. And he doesn't always feel the need. Most times he doesn't feel the need to let us in on why he does what he does. But what it comes down to is the question for you and me is, are we willing to trust him in the storm even when we don't understand why it's happening or how we're going to get out of it? That is something you and I can do. I do not find that especially easy. It's gotten easier as I prayed for the grace to be able to do it and gotten to know the Lord more, but it still is difficult. Why? Because I like to be in control. I like to have answers. I like to know what's coming next. But if we're really going to walk by faith, as we're called to do as Christians, there's got to be some uncertainty there. There's got to be some trust. And you've probably heard me say before, trust isn't a feeling. Trust is a choice. It's a decision. Lord, I choose to trust you, even in the storm. The responsorial psalm, Psalm 107, "Give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. They who sailed the sea in ships, trading on the deep waters, These saw the works of the Lord and his wonders in the abyss. His command raised up a storm wind, which tossed its waves on high. Who's in charge of the weather? Right. They mounted up to heaven. They sank to the depths. Their hearts melted away in their plight. They cried to the Lord in their distress. You see that connection between that and the gospel? They cried to the Lord in their distress. From their straits, he rescued them. He hushed the storm to a gentle breeze, and the billows of the sea were stilled. Now you see, the apostles, when they're in that boat, they saw what Jesus did as he calmed the storm. If they knew their scriptures, their Old Testament scriptures, this psalm, Psalm 107, is coming to life before their very eyes. This is an indication to them. Now, they may have missed the point, but it's an indication to them that Jesus is God. Psalm 107 is speaking about someone who is calming the storm, who's bigger than the storm. That's Jesus. They rejoiced that they were calmed, and he brought them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his kindness and his wondrous deeds to the children of men. Give thanks to the Lord. His love is everlasting. And you know, you could look at this in another way. This idea of a storm and Jesus intervening in the storm, they reach their journey safely, their destination safely. We can look at it, at that, as our protection against the forces of evil in the world. All the temptation to give in to sin. The devil's out to get us. He's out to make us, he wants us to go to hell. But if we stick with Jesus and frequent the sacraments as often as we can, cooperate with the grace he gives us, we're going to be safe, and we will reach our destination, our final destination of heaven, even though in this life we're going to have storms, storms of temptation, storms of suffering, challenges to our faith. We're going to have those. But if we stick with Jesus, remember that he's with us, and turn to him, we're going to be okay. The second reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 17. Brothers and sisters, the love of Christ impels us. Once we have come to the conviction that one died for all, therefore all have died. He indeed died for all, so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who for their sake died and was raised. Consequently, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even if we once knew Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him so no longer. So whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And as I look at this and I look at the other readings, I see a connection here. New things, all things are new in Christ. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. So you and I, as baptized Christians, members of the mystical body of Christ, the church, we are in Christ. We're a new creation. We have been transformed into a new creation. That occurs when we're baptized. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now our plan of life should be to follow Jesus, to listen to him, to obey him, to trust him, to turn to him when we face the challenges of life. And if we do that, we will be safe. It might not feel like it when we're going through it, but we will be safe. It's all a matter of choosing to trust in him, put our faith in him, listen to him, and believe that he's bigger than whatever we're facing. And I'll be honest, it's not easy to believe that sometimes. I mean, you might not feel it. You can believe it even though you don't feel it, but it is not easy sometimes to feel it. When you're looking at a crisis in your life, when Jesus appears to be sleeping, you know, where is he? You don't hear from him. You don't feel him. You see no results. You're praying. Nothing's happening. Remember this gospel that we just read today. There is a precedent for what you're going through right now. Just because he's sleeping, or appears to be sleeping, or just because he's silent, does not mean he is unaware of what you're facing, or that he's incapable of fixing your problem. Sometimes he's going to calm the storm, as in the case of this gospel. Other times, he'll calm the sailor. And I think that's critical to remember. He knows what's best. Sometimes he will take your storm away. When you pray, Lord, please take this away from me, he'll take it away. But other times he won't. Because, again, I'm speaking for him. I can't speak for him. But one possible explanation of that is he wants you to understand that he is so big and so caring and so powerful that he doesn't need to remove your storm in order to give you peace. It's possible to have peace in the midst of the storm. You know, a lot of times we pray for something to go away, the problem goes away, and we're still miserable, or we go on to the next problem. But yet there are times when we are facing some sort of a crisis, and the problem doesn't go away, but we feel the Lord's presence, and we have peace. If what we're looking for is peace, then should we really care how we get that peace? And look, I'm speaking to myself right now. I struggle with this. It's not easy. I like the problems to go away. Sometimes the Lord chooses not to do that. What I will promise you, I can't tell you how he's going to react when you turn to him in the midst of your storm. I can't tell you. I can't tell you how he will react. But I do know this. If you get into the habit of turning to Jesus in the middle of your storm, it will get better in some way. Maybe not externally, but certainly internally. Turn to him in your storm. He'll be there for you, and he will give you his peace. I want to thank you for listening to the show. Again, I greatly appreciate your prayers for my wife, Eileen, and for my daughters, Mary and Elizabeth, and for myself. And I appreciate your understanding in case we have to skip a week or two. I don't anticipate it happening, but things happen quickly and unexpectedly in life sometimes. I just wanted you to hear this from me just in case it happens. If you have any questions, you can always shoot me an email at gary@followingthetruth.com. If you would like to support my ministry financially, I could certainly use it during these challenging times. I don't know what the bills are going to look like from the hospital. It could be ugly. If there's anything you can do to help out, I would be greatly appreciative of that. You can go to followingthetruth.com and make a secure donation online. And I thank you. You are in my prayers every day. You really are. You're special to me. I'm so grateful to have you as a listener, as a friend. And let's continue to walk with one another. These storms that we face, yeah, they're scary, but the Lord is bigger than the storm. I promise. God bless you. Thanks for listening. Hope to talk to you next time. Bye-bye.